Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this May 9th, 2023. It is 10:34 on the clock. You got your host, James, here, and I am joined right now by some of our favorite people. First off, we have J.R. Siebert with us, and Let's Talk Real Estate with Coldwell Banker Seer Realtors. We do this once a month. J.R., always good to see you.
Good morning. It's great to be here again, James.
Always the best dressed man in the room. Every time I'm in a room with you, I feel underdressed. You look good, sir. Great to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Always appreciate this about what you do, too, because we get these market updates that are important for our community. And at the same time, you bring in guests from time to time that we can promote and help out local events. And one of our favorite people, Carolyn, is in with us right now. Carolyn Saylor joins us at least once a year to talk about bluegrass at the lake. It's good to see you, Carolyn. How you been?
Very good. Excited to be here. And not only am I a nonprofit person with Bluegrass at the Lake, but I also work very closely with JR. So yeah. I'm kind of like a double agent.
Yes, you are, which I like that. I like that. Great way to sell it. Nicely done. We're going to get a market update, and then we're going to put Carolyn to work, and we'll make her talk a little bluegrass. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, which is always exciting to hear. I mean, it's a great event in our community, really an amazing cause. And each year, it seems to just get better. And new ideas, you know, are brought together by the rest of the committee that works on bluegrass at the lake. Mm-hmm. So I'll jump in with the market update. James, I just want to remind our listeners, you know, how important it is when they're considering purchasing a home or selling a property that they have sound information to make the best possible decision. And you and I have talked about this in the past. There are a lot of news programs that are out there, a lot of different sources of getting information, and even just, you know, Googling, what's the real estate market like? Mm-hmm. But what we like, and I appreciate that we've got the Let's Talk Real Estate radio show to do this on a local level, is bringing that down to what's going on here in the greater Wisconsin Rapids area. Mm-hmm. It's probably the largest financial decision that most people will make in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. And it's so critical that they have a trusted real estate advisor in having that information so that they can have a favorable outcome.
I've done a lot of homework on this over the years you and I have talked, and I want to make sure that when I'm saying something, I can back it up. And to what JR is touching on there, look at, in this area, our major news channels. 13, 9, 7. Mm-hmm. There, you got two in Marshfield, you got one a little up north. They barely cover this area. And, mm-hmm. and when they're talking real estate, when they're talking those things, they're talking Marshfield area. They're talking Wausau. They're talking mm-hmm. those mm-hmm. areas. They don't touch on the real estate area in the Wisconsin Rapids area. I've talked to reporters over there. I've talked mm-hmm. to people in those industries for a lot of reasons. And mm-hmm. it's not something that they hide. They're very honest about it and everything. And I'm not taking a shot at them. They're covering their area. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing here, is covering our area.
That's correct. And that's so critical to have that kind of information for our listeners to be able to work off of.
I imagine it changes from zip code to zip code.
It does. And even as far as, you know, the town of Rome, you know, or like you mentioned, I mean, Plover, mm-hmm. Stevens Point, you know, 25 miles up the road.
Yeah.
It's even different, you know, for those markets. It's actually a significant difference.
Yeah.
So with that, we now are taking a look at 2023 through the month of April. There have been a total of 133 homes sold in the first 4 months of the year, as opposed to 144 last year. When I was in here last month, the market was actually up 2%. Yeah. Year over year, which was different than all of those other adjacent markets that you just brought up earlier, mm-hmm. Wausau, Marshfield, and Stevens Point. Mm. But now this year, through the month of April, it's down by 8%. And so when we're looking at that, we have to ask the question, why?
Yeah.
You know, is it interest rates? Mm. Is it a slower economy? Is it lack of jobs?
Yeah.
Is it housing affordability?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I could say yes, you know.
Right, right. D, all the above. Yes,
right. Yeah, exactly, right. But I really believe it's more a lack of available homes than any of those things. Now, do those things play a role? Of course they do.
Sure.
When interest rates go up, that means that that same buyer that may qualify based on their income can purchase less home.
Mm-hmm.
So that does have an impact.
Yeah.
Changes in the economy, of course, that has an impact.
Mm-hmm.
For our market area, it really is the lack of availability of homes that is driving our area market. We are still seeing multiple offers on properties. And Carolyn's going to share an experience in just a little bit about that.
Mm.
Before we do that, we'll take a look at the average sale price. And we've been tracking this together,
yeah,
James, for several years. So every month in the last, I would say, 3 years, we've seen a continual increase in the average sale price.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I met with a client yesterday, Carolyn and I did, and it was what I would consider to be an average home for our market area.
Mm-hmm.
The home was priced in that, you know, let's say $150,000 price range. And in that particular situation, we found that it's, again, a shortage of inventory. There was like 9 homes that would be considered comparable homes on the market. And of those 9, 5 that were probably the most similar to this home, all 5 of them already had offers on them.
Hmm.
And so that I guess is, you know, one of the things that, even though the average sale price this year has come down a little bit, it's still up there. Right now, the average sale price is $177,900. A year ago, it was $183,900. So that's about a 3% variance,
yeah,
you know, between the two. A year ago, though,
mm-hmm,
the average sale price had jumped 31% over the prior year.
So you're still talking a 27% better than average, you know, really, if you're looking
years
at the 2 years
mm-hmm
here.
Yep,
yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Hmm.
But we're still seeing those.
I'm terrible at math, by the way. Just terrible.
Yeah, well, you did just fine on
that.
So, Carolyn, how about if you shared an actual real-life story from what we just saw?
Sure. So we had this very nice home in a, one home, you know, family owner home, nice neighborhood, quiet neighborhood, not up and coming or anything like that, but a really solid home. And we were against another company, kind of, because, you know, buyers and sellers are all looking to compete and wanting the best information that they can get. And we were selected to be the company that listed that home, and we were just thrilled. But we got 8 offers on this home.
Mm.
8 offers.
Wow.
And our final sale price, once the house closed, was $15,000 above what the other company had told them they thought they could get.
Whoa.
And what's even more interesting, I think, is of those 7 offers that did not win the bid on this one, 2 of them decided to put in a secondary offer in hopes that the offer would fall through.
Wow.
So that they could have a chance to get something.
Mm-hmm. Is that common?
It can be.
It can, okay, yeah.
Not always.
Not always, but yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, I thought that was really interesting.
Yes.
That there were that many people competing for this home.
Mm-hmm. Tells you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But, and we don't even, I think it's even is it just as interesting, we don't have to even give you details about this home.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even have to tell you anything. Just the home, the story of it. And right away, audiences, are, the members out there, the people out there listening are going to be nodding their head. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah, I believe it.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And I know the family was that sold the home could not believe. They absolutely could not believe the interest in the home, how quickly it went, the multiple offers. They're like, oh my Lord, this is crazy.
And more than once, because this was mom and dad's home, more than once they said, we can't believe this is happening in Wisconsin Rapids.
Yeah.
I mean, they said that multiple times to us.
Yes, they did.
And we were excited to be able to share with them, you know, that we have a very, very good housing market here in our Wisconsin Rapids area.
You know, because especially when we're talking about the selling of a home and somebody selling their home, we want, you know, there's factors there, and we've touched on many of those, especially over the years, JR. But the other flip side of that, of the person selling or wanting to buy the home, and the opportunities that we have nowadays for people, whether it is, you know, bank opportunities or different opportunities to get financing or all these different things, it's a new day when it comes to buying and purchasing a home. You know, there are a lot more opportunities for people, and I think there are a lot more people out there that don't realize they could be a homeowner. They may look at themselves and think, well, I'm not my parents, or I'm not so-and-so, so I could never own a home. I encourage you to look into it. Reach out to a Coldwell Banker. It can't hurt. You know, it can't hurt to find out.
We have some great programs available through the local lenders for buyers that, you know, if they've got a job and they've got, you know, reasonable credit, they can get into a home. There's some programs. One, for instance, this is only one, called the Rural Development Program. We're considered to be a rural community, and you can literally get 100% financing, 100% financing. So that's, I mean, a great alternative to renting. And right now, with the demand that there is, you know, for rental properties, because we've seen significant rent increases, people who maybe are on the fence, don't hesitate. Yes, interest rates are higher than they were a year ago. However, that is going to level off. And I just heard one of the lenders that came to speak to us last week said, I'm trying to make sure I get this right, date the rate, marry the house. Did I say that right?
I think so.
Yeah. I got that.
It's a bit of a tongue twister. You do have to be careful with that.
You really do got to think about that one. Yeah. Nicely done. I'm glad I didn't have to do that one. That's a good line, though. It makes a lot of sense. It's interesting.
Because you can always refinance the house, and there are some lenders that actually have programs in place where within 2 years of closing on the house, they'll give you a credit to refinance and reduce the interest rate to where the rates are at that time.
It's worth reaching out. It's worth finding out and asking.
It is. It definitely is.
And it's worth shopping around to different lenders and finding, you know, options.
Great point, Carolyn. Yeah.
And I just wanted to touch on, if I may, as a follow-up to the story, the real-life story that Carolyn shared, is that that's why it's so important that you select the right, you know, real estate company, the right real estate advisor, because we can be talking thousands of dollars of difference, and in the market that we're in, an owner of a property can put a for sale by owner sign in their yard, and yes, they can get it sold, and yes, they can get an offer on the property. However, that doesn't mean they're going to get the best possible price out of their property by doing that.
Right.
So talk to us, find out what we can do, and then make your decision.
Yeah. Been doing this for 90 plus years. You know, I mean, it's not a bad idea to reach out to people that are good at what they do, and they've been doing this a long time in an industry that is all reputation based. Like, you don't last that long if you're not good at what you're doing.
Well, thank you for that, James.
The land sales, how is that looking?
They're down still. Last year at this time, there were 30 through the month of April. This year, there's 21. So there's definitely a difference there. So people seem to have pulled back on that, I would say, with the exception of acreage. There's still a demand for that, and that demand and the number of buyers looking for land is actually greater than the availability quality of those parcels. So if you happen to be a landowner and you're at a point in life where maybe you're not using it as much anymore, or the family is spread out all over the country, give us a call and we'd be able to let you know what the land is worth.
And you're talking, when you say acreage, you're talking like 5 acres plus. You're not,
yes,
or, you know, because that's what people are looking for. Mm-hmm. It's maybe not the individual subdivision lots.
Yeah.
Those, you know,
mm-hmm.
difference in that is what people are looking for.
I've thought about this before, and I'm glad it kind of came up. It gives me an opportunity, because when we talk about the need for more property, the need for inventory, that's a common theme for you and I, JR, when we get together and talk about. I don't always think to as well. Are we in more need of land? Or houses, you know, like, are people buying land and building a new house on that land? Or are people looking for just houses and that kind of thing? And I'm not saying that there's a huge difference between the two or anything like that. I'm kind of, you know, threading the needle here a little bit. But I did find it interesting to see the difference of those two clients. Mm-hmm. You know, the person looking for the land and wanting to build a brand new house mm-hmm. on that land,
yep.
or the person just looking for a house.
Yep, there is a difference, yeah, most definitely. Yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah.
I know that I could talk to you hours and hours and hours about real estate, JR. Did you want to give Carolyn some time on bluegrass,
yes,
or was there anything else
yeah.
you wanted to touch on there? The commercial sales?
Just wanted to touch on the commercial sales.
Yeah.
They're running about the same as they were last year, and they, you know, are continuing to trend in a positive direction for our local economy.
That's something I'm really glad we got a chance to touch on too, because oftentimes this subject matter can feel big, can feel so heavy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And not just wrapping up on just a good note for the sake of a good note, mm-hmm. but an actual thing that impacts everybody. Doesn't matter if you're buying or selling a home. This affects you. This applies to you. This information is very vital to knowing your day-to-day life and what's going on in your community. One of the first conversations we had is still one of the more fascinating ones to me. We talked about where, because I don't know if you remember this, but I talked your ear off like 10 minutes after we were done on the show too, because I found it so interesting that, you know, during the Great Depression, real estate was one of the only industries, the only industry that survived that, mm-hmm. that stayed afloat, that was still fine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you sent me on a rabbit hole after that. And it's something that you look at human history, like especially American history, we'll say. And that's something that's the case. And there's a reason for that. It's not just because people need a place to live. It is how vital real estate is to a community, especially rural communities. It's interesting.
It is, and I feel fortunate, as sure Carolyn does too, to be part of something that is such an integral part of our overall economy.
Hmm. They're talking about something that definitely puts into the economy, and it's just fun. We love it. It's bluegrass at the lake. We met a couple of years ago, Carolyn, first talking about this, and I rambled before that how much I love bluegrass, mm-hmm. and I'm a big fan of it. But as much as I love bluegrass and I love that, this event comes from a very heartful place, mm-hmm. and that is my favorite part of this. For those that may not know what Bluegrass at the Lake is, and I can't imagine there's many out there that do, but can we start right there, Carolyn,
sure.
of where this all began?
Starting at the beginning, sure. Mm. So, and by the way, James, this is our 6th year.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
So we're pretty excited.
It's already been 6.
It will be 6
wow.
this year.
Impressive.
Yes. Wow. And we have grown each and every year, but you're right. When we started, it was and actually it ties into what we're raising money for this
mm-hmm.
year. So our festival started on a wing and a prayer, and back in 2018, and our daughter, Brittany Saylor, had been diagnosed as a child with spinal muscular atrophy, and we had been told she wouldn't live past the age of 7, but she beat all those odds.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2013, which I can't believe is 10 years ago already,
wow.
she was very, very ill and had suffered from, not suffered, but had surgery and ended up with acute respiratory distress syndrome. So she was in the Madison Hospital and Milwaukee area hospital for 78 days. Didn't think
wow.
she would pull out.
Wow.
And in fact, the doctors at the time told us they could not understand why she lived and compared her, unbelievably or not, to Stephen Hawking, and
wow.
said they had never had anyone with an underlying neuromuscular disease survive ARDS or the acute respiratory distress. So it put our family in a tailspin, and
yeah.
even beyond, you know. So
oh.
here we are now, and what saved all of us and really brought us, kept us together as a family unit, was music. My husband got involved in bluegrass, And we started going to some festivals right about that time. And it was really, we found a family. We found an interest that kept us together. Now, did Brittany like bluegrass? Not necessarily, but she liked the social relationships.
She came
to our first festival. Mm. It was great. And, you know, we lost her in 2018, but that's when we became a nonprofit and decided to make it a festival in her memory. And we raised money always for things that kind of tied in with her. So we did Muscular Dystrophy Association. Yeah. We've worked for the Humane Society. But this year, we're raising money for Wood County Critical Incident Stress Management Program.
Yeah.
And, or known as CISM.
Yes.
Okay? CISM. And that is overseen by the Wood County Sheriff's Department. And it is a program that helps support all first responders and all affiliates of first responders through Wood County, the surrounding counties, and any of the communities and areas that provide mutual aid.
Mm-hmm.
So what it does, it's a trauma support. And, you know, our trauma as a family, we wouldn't have gotten through it without support, without friends, without music, without finding something. And first responders from your traditional, what you think of as police, firefighters, paramedics, but it's dispatch, it's tow truck drivers, it's, you know, the med flight folks, it's, you know, the municipalities, the big city ones, but it's also the volunteer groups. It's Pittsville, it's Dexterville, it's, you know, Nakusa, it's all the little places. And these folks see trauma on an unbelievable level.
Mm-hmm.
We had trauma in our family, and statistically they show, or what they're saying is, the average person, like us, has trauma events of 3 to 11 events in their lifetime. However, first responders see 180 to 210 in their professional career.
Wow.
It's incredible.
Wow.
And if you don't have a way to deal with that, can you imagine how heavy that is?
Yeah.
And it takes a toll. I mean, the loss of the officer just this weekend, in, I believe it's St. Croix, is another example. And it doesn't just affect that area and that community. It ripples out and affects everyone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a crazy thing. And these first responders, globally, as the term for all of them combined, is so important, because if these folks can't have the mental and emotional fitness to be able to be there for themselves and their own families, how can they possibly be there for us?
Yeah, it's impossible.
They can't.
Yeah.
You know, and if you look at communities that are smaller and don't have tax-based municipal supports, and you're just relying on volunteer groups, how in the heck can you have people like us who work jobs and have families and then volunteer our time to take this on? How in the world can they keep folks in those positions?
You
look at, then when you and I have an accident, or, you know, dad has a heart attack, or mom has a stroke, or, you know, Jimmy falls out of the tree and breaks his arm, you know, how do we get people to help us if they're not there and able to help themselves first? It's so important, James.
Yes.
And so Bluegrass at the Lake is really proud to be raising money for that this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got some really cool things. We're a three-day festival again this year.
Yeah.
I am happy to say that this year we are no longer competing with the Grand Rapids Firemen's Picnic.
Nice.
They have moved their event to August,
cool.
which is awesome, in a conjunction with a car cruise. So
yes.
That's fabulous.
That's really working out. Yes,
and
that's
so
great.
And so Thursday night, we're hoping that our event will draw in the folks, because CISM, it applies to Grand Rapids Firemen.
Yeah.
So this is
a
fabulous event.
Really does work out that
way. So we've got Southbound playing for us
again.
So that's Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, we have our traditional bluegrass day. Music starts at 4 o'clock. We have a cover charge, of course. We're still at Lake Wasecha, Red Sand Beach area. Okay? And this is June 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Yes.
Okay? And then, but on Saturday, June 10th, we're going to have our very first community day event. So in the morning, these are free activities. The all first responder, we're going to have touch a truck activity down at the east end of field by the parking lot. We will have some vendors available at the Red Sand Beach Pavilion. We are going to have the second annual Flipping Your Griddle.
Contest. I remember that from last year. Yeah,
yes,
it was really good last year.
It was.
Yeah.
And so that'll happen again this year.
Very
we're excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time, Bluegrass at the Lake, the performance area, our event will be open to the public in the morning until about 1:30 p.m. before the music starts. So, because the Wisconsin Rapids Lions Club will be serving food.
Awesome.
Beverages.
Nice.
And you'll be able to purchase our raffle tickets. So cool. It's all cool. And then our live music starts at 2 o'clock. That's when you'll need your wristband cover charge. Mm-hmm. But holy cow, it is a packed weekend this year.
Is everything covered already? You got all the sponsors you're going to get, vendors you're going to get, all that?
As far as sponsors that we can put in our posters,
sure.
Yes. But oh my Lord, if people want to contribute, I've even gone so far, James, this year, as to put it in my Christmas card, my personal
nice.
Card,
smart.
To tell folks we're
She's
a nonprofit.
She is,
you're
isn't
good.
She?
You're
we're
good.
A nonprofit.
Yeah,
you know, if you just want to donate to us, we're happy to write you a tax free. I mean, Bluegrass at the Lake is a nonprofit, and we're raising funds for a nonprofit. Please feel free. Go to our website, bluegrassatthelake.com. Check us out on Facebook. There's a lot of good information there. But, oh, man, it's a wonderful event.
I genuinely believe there is nothing stronger in the universe than the human spirit. Mm. An event like this that you and your family give and share so much with, Carolyn, I believe that is evidence of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate
Absolutely.
It very much. To be able to take an event like that and turning it into something beautiful, that's the human experience.
We're hoping.
That's awesome. We're
hoping. And really little bits. It's little bits, and every year we're growing. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, we had an economic impact of $65,000 in the community. Last year, according to our surveys with the Visitors Bureau, we did $85,000 economic
nice.
Impact. We're hoping to get bigger this year.
Yeah,
let's
raise that
up. Little bits. So
we'll be promoting it. We'll be talking about it. We'll be leading your way to Lake Wazeecha for this event, and looking forward to it.
That's great.
As you mentioned, you can find out more information at bluegrassatthelake.com. It's all one word, bluegrassatthelake.com. Encourage you to bookmark that page and get ready for June. It's going to be fun. JR, we want to people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of the things we talked about real estate-wise, where can we send them? Where should we?
Please have them give one of our associates a call at 715-424-4800. Stop into the office if you'd like. We're located at 325 8th Street South, right across from Cravings Coffee Shop. Or reach out to us and check us out at coldwellbanker.com.
Yeah, looking forward to next month. Got a special show next month as
yes.
well. Looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Looking forward to it also.
Have a great day, you two. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
We'll have more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.